Hello, this is Matthew Tombers, and you're listening to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson.
Wednesday, September 30th, WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive, the Essential Radio Pledge Drive, begins as we ask local radio listeners to chip in a little bit to keep the radio on. We're asking you to become a sustainable supporter, making a pledge of $5 a month or just 17 cents a day to keep local voices on the airwaves. Your community radio station needs help to keep essential local voices on the air. So to keep hearing local news about an international pandemic, interviews with candidates before elections, and shows from local teens and senior citizens, and everyone in between, go to WGXC.org to donate to become a sustaining supporter and make sure many local voices stay on 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Natasha Vaughn reports for Columbia Green Media that about 30 people, many with Justice for Harold signs, marched in Kinderhook September 26 to try and bring light to a police-involved beating from July. Little information is still known about the beating Harold Handy took at a July 4th party at the home of a Columbia County deputy sheriff. The party where the beating occurred was hosted by Sheriff's Deputy Kelly Rosenstrock and her husband, Club Life gym owner Alex Rosenstrock. Columbia County Sheriff's Office, despite an apparent conflict of interest, was initially investigating the matter, though the state police now have the investigation. Rosenstrock was placed on administrative leave, but her current status and if she is being paid is unknown. State Police spokesperson Christy Lohman said September 25th there was nothing new to report about the incident. Christiane Svevenson of Stuyvesant said at the rally, quote, clearly he had been beaten almost to death. He was literally almost dead, and they didn't come back to investigate for 3 days. You can't help also but to feel a bit afraid that this can go on around. Am I safe? If I don't act the way some people think I ought to act, is this going to happen to me? Here I am standing up. Does that make me a target? Unquote. WGXC's Philip Grant attended the rally and made these recordings of Handy's father, also named Harold Handy, and also Lee Jamison of Stuyvesant, and another demonstrator, Donald Slovak.
We're here on behalf of my son, Harold, and Justice for Harold in Columbia County, New York. We expect the individuals involved to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. A message needs to be sent that regardless of political connections, contributions to the sheriff's campaign, or if you are employed by the sheriff, that you will not get away with heinous crimes. The people in this county need to feel safe again. Thank you for coming. Justice for Harold.
Mystifying to me that it's taking so long when there were allegedly, you know, a whole crowd of people present. Why haven't they been deposed? Why isn't the DA talking? Why aren't there charges? Justice is supposed to be swift. Justice is not supposed to be partisan. It's supposed to be blind. And we want justice for our friend Harold.
We're here because the man was almost beat to death at the local Columbia County Sheriff Deputy's house. And there's been no arrest yet, and it's been 12 weeks. So, you know what? I have an 18-year-old kid. I'm worried that something like this here could happen to my son.
It Eduardo Medina is reporting for the Times Union that the Grand Street Community Arts Center was vandalized with a racial epithet directed at black people, along with the phrase, quote, life is horrible, unquote. Albany police spokesperson Steve Smith said they have a suspect in the incident and that she is an African-American woman. Grand Street Executive Director Tashawn Murdoch said he was appalled when he learned about the incident, with the words painted in blue, quote, I think it's unfortunate that someone would deface a building and in an area where the majority of people of color and minorities live, unquote, Murdoch said. A cleanup effort will take place on Grand Street at 1 p.m. September 27th. The center is located in the former St. Anthony's Church at 68 Grand Street near Madison Avenue in Albany. The organization was formed in 2003, quote, as a way to bridge the cultural and economic divides in the community, unquote. Community radio station WCAALP-FM is a project of the Grand Street Community Arts Organization. Murdoch said, this is the first time the building has been subjected to explicitly hateful vandalism, but he hopes the cleanup helps people unify. Quote, we need to remember that our words matter, unquote, he said. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Alelia Schneider is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a Columbia County grand jury September 25th handed up indictments for first-degree sexual abuse against Hudson resident Muhammad Ali. The indictments come less than 2 months after he was charged with other sexual assault offenses. The most recent indictments originated with an incident involved alleged sexual contact with a child under the age of 11 during the summer of 2014. Ali's attorney, Michael Howard, requested that Columbia County Court Judge Richard Kowiek prevent video from being recorded during the proceedings because footage has been used by Bengali news outlets and has stirred up members of the Bengali community, quote, in an inappropriate fashion, unquote, Howard said. Following the hearing, District Attorney Paul Chaika took local politicians to task, accusing them of politicizing the case by taking advantage of the provisions of the Rape Shield Law, which protects a victim's identity, for their own political purposes, he said. During the September 15th Hudson Common Council meeting, Quentin Cross asked individual council members to express their thoughts on the charges, Chaika added. Cross said that supporting the victims does not remove the presumption of innocence. Quote, I stand with the victims, unquote, Cross said. At the meeting, the only two representatives to decline an indication of support for the young victims were 3rd Ward Alderperson Shersha Mizan and 2nd Ward Alderperson Dewan Sawar. Both have said the case will be decided in the courts. 2nd Ward Supervisor Abdus Mia likewise declined. Quote, he said, quote, this makes me very unhappy. I don't want to see a bad thing like that happen to anybody, unquote, he said. Quote, I'm not supporting Muhammad Ali or an alleged victim in Ali's case until the court decides, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And Sarah Trafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media that the company Gasland Incorporated has received an okay from the Catskill Zoning Board to build a new Sunoco station on Route 9W, on the site where Cat's Rental is currently located. The 2,175-square-foot building and 3 gas pumps will replace the equipment rental building and the sewing shop located next door. The ZBA last week granted Gasland the variance necessary to move the proposal forward to the planning board for the site plan approval. No date has been set for the company to appear before the planning board. Quote, Department of Transportation is going to have to come and approve another curb cut, unquote, Planning Board Chairperson Patrick McCullough said. The department will also evaluate the need for a traffic light, he said, and the planning board has to be mindful of stormwater drainage, unquote. The people that live behind the gas station have to be taken into account, unquote, McCullough said. The Stewart's currently under construction, and Sunoco, if approved, will join the ranks of the Speedway, Cumberland Farms, and Assad's Gas on Route 9W. On Route 23, another Sunoco station and a Valero are located on opposite sides of the highway. Quote, I do hear, why do we need another gas station, pizza place, or Chinese food place, etc., unquote, Village President Vincent Seeley said in August. Quote, my response is that any business that fits our zoning has done their market research, has a solid business plan, has the capital, and wants to be part of our growing community. Let's get them to the table, unquote. Read more about the story at HudsonValley360.com and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a 20% chance of showers on Sunday, mainly before 10 a.m. Then A slight chance of showers after 2 p.m. Partly sunny skies are forecast with a high of 74 and a low around 61. Monday, again, there's a 40% chance of showers, high of 72 and a low around 61. Tuesday, chance of rain goes up to 60%, mainly after 2 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 70 and a low around 57. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
There is currently no vaccine or specific medication to treat COVID-19. Testing is limited in the United States. The only way to flatten the curve is through collective action. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommend that all Americans practice social distancing to slow the spread of the disease and to keep from overloading the American medical system. This means staying at home and avoiding other people as much as possible. Information is available at cdc.gov/COVID-19.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ann Cooper of Catskill, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is WA3QIZ. Do you read me?
Seymour, isn't it about time you made a real friend?
Mother, please, I'm communicating with my fellow hams.
How do I talk? Push this button here. You're all losers!
Help WGXC vibrate on and keep essential radio on your 90.7 FM frequency. And at WGXC.org, wavefarm.org/listen, there's many ways to tune in. You can use the TuneIn app. You can tune in on your phone, your computer, your tablet, or your transistor radio. Please consider making a sustaining support pledge. $5 monthly pledge, just 17 cents a day, will keep the radio vibrating on at 90.7 FM, keeping community voices on the air. Make a pledge today at wgxc.org/donate.
Purple rain. Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. And I'm here every week with my tween and teen friends talking about books that we love and books that we're currently reading and other bookish things, but we couldn't get together this week to record. So instead, what I'm going to do today is to share some recent young adult releases that I think sound really wonderful and that have gotten some critical acclaim, and some are on the bestsellers list. So first up, I'm going to talk about Furia by Yamil Saeed Mendez, and this is the next book in Reese's YA book club, and it's described as a powerful, own voices, contemporary YA for fans of The Poet X, which was wonderful, and I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter, set in Argentina, about a rising soccer star who must put everything on the line, even her blooming love story, to follow her dreams. Here's the description. In Rosario, Argentina, Camila Hassan lives a double life. At home, she is a careful daughter living within her mother's narrow expectations, in her rising soccer star brother's shadow, and under the abusive rule of her short-tempered father. On the field, she is La Furia, a powerhouse of skill and talent. When her team qualifies for the South American tournament, Camila gets the chance to see just how far those talents can take her. In her wildest dreams, she'd get an athletic scholarship to the North American University. But the path ahead isn't easy. Her parents don't know about her passion. They wouldn't allow a girl to play football, and she needs their permission to go any farther. And the boy she once loved is back in town. Since he left, Diego has become an international star, playing in Italy for a renowned team, Juventus. Camila doesn't have time to be distracted by her feelings for him. Things aren't the same as when he left. She has her own passions and ambitions now, and La Furia cannot be denied. As her life becomes more complicated, Camila is forced to face her secrets and make her way in a world with no place for the dreams and ambitions of a girl like her. Filled with authentic details and the textures of day-to-day life in Argentina, heart-soaring romance, and breathless action on the pitch, Furia is the story of a girl's journey to make her life her own. This sounds wonderful. And I love watching soccer. I don't play soccer, but I love watching it, so I'm curious to read a story about a young female soccer player. So that is Furia by Yamil Saeed Mendez. Okay. So up next, I'm going to talk about the latest release from Tiffany D. Jackson, who's an author that we've talked about many times on the show. And this one is called Grown. And here's the description. When legendary R&B artist Corey Fields spots Enchanted Jones at an audition, her dreams of being a famous singer take flight. Until Enchanted wakes up with blood on her hands and zero memory of the previous night. Who killed Corey Fields? Before there was a dead body, Enchanted's dreams had turned into a nightmare because behind Corey's charm and star power was a controlling dark side. Now he's dead, the police are at the door, and all signs point to Enchanted. Award-winning author Tiffany D. Jackson delivers another riveting, ripped-from-the-headlines mystery that exposes horrific secrets hiding behind the limelight and embraces the power of a young woman's voice. Tiffany D. Jackson's books are not always easy, but they're always very good reads. And I was very much looking forward to meeting her at the Book Fest this past spring. But then, as we all know, as many things were canceled this spring, so was the Book Festival. So hopefully next year we'll have the Book Fest again. We'll get to meet wonderful authors, and I hope that Tiffany G. Jackson comes back. Next up, we have a little contemporary fantasy, and this is called Legendborn by Tracy Dion. After her mother dies in an accident, 16-year-old Bree Matthews wants nothing to do with her family memories or childhood home. A residential program for bright high schoolers at UNC Chapel Hill seems like the perfect escape, until Bree witnesses a magical attack her very first night on campus. A flying demon feeding on human energies. A secret society of so-called legend-born students that hunt the creatures down. And a mysterious teenage man who calls himself a Merlin and who attempts, and fails, to wipe Bree's memory of everything she saw. The mage's failure unlocks Bree's own unique magic and a buried memory with a hidden connection. The night her mother died, another Merlin was at the hospital. Now that Bree knows there is more to her mother's death than what's on the police report, she'll do whatever it takes to find out the truth, even if that means infiltrating the Legendborn as one of their initiates. She recruits Nick, a self-exiled legendborn, with his own grudge against the group, and the reluctant partnership pulls them deeper into the society's secrets and closer to each other. But when the legendborn reveal themselves as the descendants of King Arthur's knights and explain that a magical war is coming, Bree has to decide how far she'll go for the truth and whether she should use her magic to take the society down or join the fight. This one sounds so good and has a beautiful cover and is on the New York Times bestseller list for young adult novels, as is Grown, which I mentioned before, and I'm very excited to read that. And the next book I'm going to talk about is also on the bestsellers list, and that is Punching the Air by Ibi Zoboi and Yusuf Salam. The story that I thought was my life didn't start on the day I was born. Amal Shahid has always been an artist and a poet, but even in a diverse art school, he's seen as disruptive and unmotivated by a biased system. Then one fateful night, an altercation in a gentrifying neighborhood escalates into tragedy. Boys just being boys turns out to be true only when those boys are white. The story that I think will be my life starts today. Suddenly, at just 16 years old, Amal's bright future is upended. He is convicted of a crime he didn't commit and sent to prison. Despair and rage almost sink him until he turns to the refuge of his words, his art. This never should have been his story, but can he change it? With spellbinding lyricism, award-winning author Ibi Zoboi and prison reform activist Yusuf Salam tell a moving and deeply profound story about how one boy is able to maintain his humanity and fight for the truth in a system designed to strip them of both. This was an instant New York Times bestseller, and Ibi Zoboi is a teen author whose books are very popular, and Yusuf Salam was one of the exonerated five, so this is their first collaboration together, and it's a novel in verse, which I really love, novels in verse, so I'm excited to read this one as well, not just for the topic, but also for the format. And I have another novel in verse that I wanted to mention, and it is called Everybody Looking by Candice Illo. And this one was also long listed for the National Book Award for Young People's Literature this year. And we just got our copy in at the library, so I'm excited to check that out and hope you will too. Here's the description. When Ada leaves home for her freshman year at a historically black college, it's the first time she's ever been so far away from her family, and the first time that she's been able to make her own choices and to seek her place in this new world. As she stumbles deeper into the world of dance and explores her sexuality, she also begins to wrestle with her past, her mother's struggle with addiction, her Nigerian father's attempts to make a home for her. Ultimately, Ada discovers she needs to brush off the destiny others have chosen for her and claim full ownership of her body and future. I've heard wonderful things about this one. I'm so excited to read it. And nice to see that it was listed, long listed for the National Book Award. And on October 6th is when that list will be cut down to five finalists. And then the award is on November 18th. And I'm going to read another description for a book that came out in September that is also a National Book Award finalist on the long list. And that is called We Are Not Free by Tracy Chi. Here's the description. From New York Times bestselling and acclaimed author Tracy Chi comes We Are Not Free, the collective account of a tight-knit group of young Nisei second-generation American citizens whose lives are irrevocably changed by the mass U.S. incarcerations of World War II. 14 teens who have grown up together in Japantown, San Francisco. 14 teens who form a community and a family as interconnected as they are conflicted. 14 teens whose lives are turned upside down when over 100,000 people of Japanese ancestry are removed from their homes and forced into desolate incarceration camps. In a world that seems determined to hate them, these young Nisei must rally together as racism and injustice threaten to pull them apart. And I'm actually reading a graphic novel right now where a young Japanese-American woman who finds herself being pulled back in time to the time when people were incarcerated in these camps. And so she's realizing that she doesn't know much about that history of her ancestors. And she's also living this experience, being pulled back in time. And it's very interesting so far. I've read other accounts of those times, and I also have in-laws who experienced this in their lives. So I've heard some stories and seen pictures, but it's definitely something that seems to be getting more attention now. It seems tied to the fact that we have people incarcerated along the border. I think that's helping bring this history to light. So that was the last book that I wanted to share this week in terms of new releases. But since I've mentioned the National Foundation long list for young people's literature, I'll mention the other books that are on that list, two of which I've read. So King and the Dragonflies by Kaysen Callender, which I've talked about on the show, which is a beautiful novel, and I hope to see that on the finalist list. We Are Not Free by Tracy Chi, which I just mentioned, and Everybody Looking by Candice Illo, which I also just read about. Lifting As We Climb, Black Women's Battle for the Ballot Box by Yvette Dion. Apple Skin to the Core by Eric Gansworth. I'm very much looking forward to reading that one. When Stars Are Scattered by Victoria Jameson and Omar Muhammad, which I read recently and I'm looking forward to talking about on the radio once we're all able to join up together again. But it's a graphic novel about the refugee experience in Kenya for Somali refugees and is based on the experiences of the author Omar Muhammad, who worked with Victoria Jameson, who's a graphic novel artist and author, to tell a story that's based on his life. And it's very moving. And then there's also Trowbridge Road by Marcella Pixley, How We Got to the Moon, The People, Technology, and Daring Feats of Science Behind Humanity's Greatest Adventure by John Rocco, The Way Back by Gabrielle Savit, and Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas. And all of the authors featured on this list are first-time nominees for this award. Three of them are debuts, so Everybody Looking, Lifting As We Climb, and Cemetery Boys are all debut novels. And then two of them are in verse, so Everybody Looking, which I read before, and then Apple Skin to the Core by Eric Gansworth is also a novel in verse. And so we'll know on October 6th which five of these will be included in the final jurying, and the winner will be announced on November 18th. So be sure to check out those books and maybe pick your own winner. The two that I've read so far are really great, so I have high hopes for the rest. I hope that next week we'll be back to our live show with my tween and teen friends so I can hear about some more books and so that you can hear about more books. And until then, hope everyone has a great week with lots of quality reading time. Happy reading.
Down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting our show together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down. Show together, gonna polish up our act.
GXC is asking your help to keep the vibrations going on the 90.7 FM frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today at 518-697-7400 or go to wgxc.org and click on the donate page. Become a sustaining supporter to keep WGXC vibrating on, covering your elections, watching the schools, listening to your voices and putting them on the radio, WGXC.org and 90.7 FM. Become a sustaining supporter today.
Here with me as my guest this morning is Will Yandick. Will?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Let's see if we can give you a little more volume here. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us here at WGXC.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Will is the co-owner of Green Acre Farms in Columbia County. Is it Livingston you're in or Hudson?
It's Livingston. It's that thing where the Hudson postal zip code creeps out into several neighboring towns.
Yep.
including the northern part of Livingston.
Okay.
So we are in the town of Livingston.
Yes.
In the northern part near Bell's Pond, between Hudson and the Hudson Ankrum exit on the Taconic State Parkway.
Yeah, on Route 82.
On Route 82. Very good.
Yeah. And you're also the deputy supervisor for the town of Livingston, New York.
I am. I think I am the third Democrat in the town's history ever elected. I think
Woo-hoo.
You have to go back to the Whig era to find other left-leaning individuals elected. But I've been on the board since 2011, and it's been a great experience working with my comrades in strong contrast to the national
rancor
model of lack of cooperation. I can say things are good in the town of Livingston, and we're
yes.
getting along very well.
I agree. So, Will, what's the good word coming from Green Acre Farms?
Well, I'll tell you, who knew a pandemic would be so good for business for small farms? Not only my farm, but virtually every other small farm that I'm talking to has been doing very well this year. It's been, for our particular place in the world here in Columbia and Greene counties, it's been a wonderful combination both of folks that are interested in buying local, which has been a growing trend over the last 5 or 6 years, and people have been sitting inside and learning how to cook more, learning how to can, or trying their hand at such things for the first time. And so things like plum tomatoes and pickling cucumbers have been flying off the shelves for farmers in the region. Folks have not been able to go out to restaurants, so they're cooking at home more. And instead of that trip to Florida, they're hitting up farm stands. So we're getting a lot of downstate tourists still coming up for day trips. It's a good time. I mean, there's been a long drumbeat of bad news for small farms as they struggle to compete with some of the large corporate farms. But things have been good. This is probably one of our best years ever on the farm, and we've been busy since we opened on 4th of July weekend.
Wow. So what has been the farm's journey through the COVID-19 pandemic? Let's go back to February and March when we start to hear about, you know, COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, I think like most Americans, I'll be brave enough to admit that when we've been hearing about COVID since January and February, but it just seemed like it was somewhere off in some distant land or something that was going to affect China and Asia. And then when it started to really take off here in America, I think we were frightened, like most Americans, unsure if we were even going to be able to open. And there are a few things that we did in March and April to make sure that we could offer products safely to customers. We invested in building an entirely new outdoor overhang so that we could accommodate traffic and an outdoor register for our customers without letting them into our relatively small farm stand where social distancing is not possible. And I have to tell you, it has been working out for us. You know, anybody, any of your listeners that have ever worked or dealt in retail know that it could be sometimes challenging to deal with customers on a case-by-case basis. But I have found people to be incredibly patient. I have not seen a single customer yet unwilling to wear a mask. People have been willing to stand in lines a long time. And I think if you're looking for a silver lining amid all of this terrible uncertainty, I think it has brought out a quality, at least among our customers, of community, patience, and goodwill. It's a pleasure to be here. I wish we weren't so busy and I had more time to chat with some of my regulars. But it's been a very good experience. And I've heard similar reports from many other farms and farm stands in the region. You know, Columbia County is an enormous, has a very large density of farm stands and small historic farms relative to the other counties in our region. Greene County has many as well. And we've become a kind of draw. We're pulling people out of Long Island, out of Queens, out of Connecticut, even central Massachusetts are coming to Columbia County because you can hit up 5, 6, 7 farm stands within 5 or 6 miles. And there certainly are a large number of them here on 82. Yeah.
And this all bodes well for local farms, and that means bodes well for local workers, yes?
I think so. We employ a full-time staff here seasonally, of course, of 5. And we are looking for others if this continues through the fall. We're at capacity, as some of your listeners might know. In addition to a farm, we have a fresh bakery here, which is just hopping. We've always been busy on weekends. There's been a strong weekend presence. But what we're seeing now, I think both because people are cooking more and they're staying home or upstate longer into the week, that our Mondays are busy, which is, you know, Monday always used to be the day where the farm store was, you know, I could run it by myself and turn over an apple crate, sit down and chat with your neighbor for 20 minutes. Or because I'm on the town board, it became a kind of de facto audience hearing about somebody's road where people are traveling too fast and we need to lower the speed limit. But those moments are fleeting now. We're just hopping Monday, Thursdays. The shoulders of the weekends are becoming almost as busy as the weekends themselves.
Wow. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to greenacreshudson.com? That's all one word, greenacreshudson.com. And, you know, I'm sure we've whet the appetite of some who'd like to come to Green Acre Farms. So you're open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays?
We're actually open Thursday through Monday, 9 to 6. So we do close Tuesdays and Wednesdays to do bakery prep and to catch up with field work.
Okay.
We will be open until Thanksgiving Day at noon. Yeah. Our season generally runs from the 4th of July until Thanksgiving. We sell only our own produce or from our very close neighbors within 5 miles. So that's a relatively short season here in upstate New York. We start the season off with cherries at the end of June, early July, and we'll run through now where we're just peaking with apples. Mm. We'll be picking a popular new variety called Snapdragon. So if any of your listeners enjoy Honeycrisp, I encourage them to check out Snapdragon, a new apple either at our farm or other farms, which was bred by Cornell. The interesting history of Honeycrisp is that it's really a Canadian apple. It's very difficult to grow this far south in the Hudson Valley. It requires additional calcium sprays and some other tricky techniques to get it to grow. And Cornell, noting the qualities of the Honeycrisp, that very crisp breaking bite, the very sweet after finish, have worked on the genetics to create Snapdragon, not through any crazy GMO stuff, Frankenstein stuff, but just old-fashioned breeding. And it's a wonderful apple. We should start picking it this week, and we'll have it through the fall.
I want a pie. We've already had a pie from you guys, and it was, of course, delicious. But if someone wants to order a pie, what do they need to do?
So because we're so busy, we instituted a policy a few years ago, which is additionally necessary this year, is we ask that you give us 24 hours notice. So in the old days, we used to be able to take a call and say, I'm on the Riffinwinkle Bridge. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Can you save me a peach pie? My mom would say, of course, hon, just come on down. We just can't whip them up that fast, and we're too busy to accommodate that. So if you call us the day before, it doesn't have to be a strict 24 hours, but just simply the day before or earlier, and leave us your name and your number and what you'd like, we can almost always get you exactly what you're looking for.
Yeah. Folks, it's now 9:30, and you are in tune to WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. And my guest this morning is Will Yandick, co-owner of Green Acre Farms in Livingston, New York. He's also the deputy supervisor of the town of Livingston, New York. And we're talking about, well, now let's talk about seasonal stuff. What's good to come? What are some seasonal goodies for sale right now? You talked about the Snapdragon apples. Anything else we need to know about?
Yes, this week we're picking my favorite pear. It's an old classic, the Bosque. It starts out as a kind of brown, russety pear. And it's unusual for pears because it's not gritty or grainy like some of the earlier Bartlett's can be. And it just, like a fine wine, gets better if you the longer it ages. So you can eat them when they're fresh picked. They're kind of crunchy and sweet. But as you leave them on your countertop, do not refrigerate them. Leave them on the countertop. They will soften up and develop a very sweet juice that is best fresh out of hand. You can bake with them when they're hard. It's one of my favorite fruits in the fall, and it's a good keeper. If you don't want to eat them all right away, you can put them in the refrigerator, and they'll last up to a month. The locally grown Bosque pears are always better than any of the pears that you can get in the supermarket. I've always said there are a handful of fruits that supermarkets just cannot deliver with quality. Pears, peaches, and plums are high on that list. And it's a short season, so that's coming up. We, of course, are picking a full diversity of fall squashes. We have butternut, a new squash. For some folks, might be buttercup. It's a green kind of kabocha-like squash. Has a creamy orange flesh, and it's very versatile. You can cook it the way that you could cook any potato dish. You can dice it up and roast it in a pan. You can mash it. You can make it into a soup. It's very forgiving for first-time cooks because it's hard to burn it, and as long as you can make it fork tender or just leave it in the oven until it is, it doesn't really need a lot of seasoning. You can savory it up with some salt and sage, thyme, or you can sweeten it up with some maple syrup or brown sugar. And again, that squash is called Buttercup, which you can find at our store or many of the other local stores. We'll also be getting into some of the better baking apples like Ida Red and Winesap. These are classics that our grandparents and great-grandparents would have cooked. They make wonderful pies. Many of our own pies rely on Ida Reds. It's just a good apple that holds its shape when baked. It lends itself well to sugar and cinnamon without falling apart and making a very mushy pie. It makes a wonderful baked apple, which is the easiest dessert. And if you're looking for something a little healthier for your family or your kids, you can just simply take an Ida Red apple, core it, fill it with walnuts and raisins, put it on a baking sheet with just a tiny bit of water in the bottom, and just roast it in the oven at 350 until fork tender. They're absolutely delicious and impossible to mess up. We'll have those in another few weeks. And, of course, we're now making pumpkin pies seasonally. So if you have a hankering for that, you can stop on down.
I have a hankering for pies in general. And I am one of
those. It is the ultimate comfort food. There's something to be said about the time of COVID. And if you're stuck inside, it best be inside with a pie and socially distanced, 6 feet apart from a few other folks with forks as well.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of those people who I can easily sit down with a hot cup of coffee and a piece of pie for breakfast. You know, I still eat like a teenager.
If you read books about the Shakers here in New Lebanon in Columbia County, apple pie was their go-to for breakfast. So don't feel guilty. If the Shakers could work all day on a stomach full of apple pie, then
yes,
so can we.
You betcha. So I think it goes without saying, those who venture to Green Acre Farms on Route 82 in Livingston, social distance, wear a mask, be kind.
Yes.
You know,
be kind, be patient. And most people have been. It is our requirement that you have to wear a mask. We have some red tape on the ground, both at the bakery order window and at the register. We ask folks to stay 6 feet apart. We have a hand-washing station. Cornell did a wonderful job here in Hudson in distributing free state-manufactured hand-washing stations to many of the local farms, as well as masks for our employees. So we can give a shout-out to our local Cornell Cooperative Extension for serving our community's farms in that way and helping us to keep all of us safer.
Great.
Yep, the lines might be a little bit longer. We apologize for that. But again, I can't iterate enough that folks have just been wonderful. It's been a pleasure to see people lining up with smiles on their face. You could tell there's a smile under that mask by the little crinkles around their eyes.
So true. Oh, my gosh. Well, so it's greenacreshudson.com.
Mm-hmm.
The farm is open Thursday through Monday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right.
Close Tuesday and Wednesdays. Give a little bit of notice if you want pie. They ask at least about 24 hours beforehand. Give a call. What's the number they should call, Will?
That's our store number is 518-851-6000. 7460. And if you do get the machine on a Tuesday or Wednesday, just leave your name, number, what you'd like. We do check it regularly.
Great. Any last words for us, Will?
I just want to use my few minutes to thank this community that I live in. You know, small farms can produce wonderful goods, but if our community residents are not interested or willing to say, you know what, I'm not going to buy my sweet corn in the supermarket when it's grown a mile down the road from my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have a wonderful multi-generational support of customers here in the Hudson area, and it's what keeps us going. We've been working 14 to 16 hour days every day since June, and it's the customers that keep us going. We feel that we are not only creating a good product, but a sense of community. It warms my heart to hear customers who know each other and chat, because it's offering also another rare moment for social interaction at a time when our souls are really hungry to be able to reach out and connect to other people outside of our family. So it's just a simple thank you to this community for supporting us. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you so much, Will, for joining us here at WGXE. Folks, Will Yandick, co-owner of Green Acre Farms. All right, well, I guess you've got work to do. You got to go.
I do. We're going to be hauling in pumpkins today. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Will.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I am Des Moines George, and I am here with Melanie Trimble, the chapter director of the New York Civil Liberties Union, Capital Region Chapter. And we are here to talk about a new campaign that the New York Civil Liberties Union has launched statewide. Melanie, could you tell me about the new campaign?
Well, just recently in the spring, the legislature overturned what's called 50A, which is a piece of legislation that had protected police officers from having their personnel records released to the public. And there were many reasons that that law was adopted back in the day, but with all that's happened and the demand for transparency that the public has expressed when it comes to police officer behavior, really pushed the legislature to repeal that piece of legislation and allow the public access to personnel records of police officers up to a certain extent. Now, we do not know to what extent that's going to be, and so the courts need to start making decisions. And so our agency wanted to, you know, enlist the help of other law firms in the area that can help